Thank you. It's a delight to get to see everybody. It really is a joy. I'm Julie. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I used to live in Oakland and San Leandro, and I now live in Joshua Tree, which is in the high desert just above Palm Springs. And it's really nice to see all your faces, I got to tell you. It feels really great, and I'm very happy. Thank you, Ella, for asking me. I'm just afraid it's all going to go downhill from there, but who knows? You know, God's in charge, so we'll see what happens. I've been asking higher power for help, but I'm going to start with kind of a little bit about what it used to be like. And what it used to be like was hiding in isolation. In other words, I never told anybody. I mean, I wasn't telling people what I ate or what I intuitively know knew to lie. I intuitively knew to sneak food. I learned how to talk with a full mouth and try to make it sound like it wasn't. I mean, I grew up in an atmosphere of illness, and I'm not saying that like to down my family or be judgmental or anything, but hell, yeah. I mean, it was a compulsive overeaters. You know, there were alcoholics and compulsive overeaters, and I found that just food was always very, very important to me, always. And I've always had a weight problem. All my youth, I had school nurses telling me I needed to lose a little weight. My first diet was at the age of 5, and it didn't go great from there. I mean, I continued to put myself on diets. My whole family was on a diet. My whole family had a weight problem, all that stuff. My first experience with being made fun of was not actually directed towards me. I forgot my lunch, and my mom was coming up the walk to the school to bring me my lunch, and some kid said, "Who's that fat lady?" And I remember thinking that she's not fat, she's my mom. And she was in a muumuu. If you don't know what that is, you can Google it. But that was the deal. And it was always this weird paradox of being given lots of sugar and stuff like that over the holidays, and at the same time being expected to, be a good weight, whatever that is. I have, like I say, I've put myself on diet since the age of 13, and I read diet books in high school. In college, I went to commercial weight loss programs, where they weigh you and stuff like that. And I went to one where they give you electroshock treatments. Oh, that didn't work either. I paid like $300 to be tortured, and I still like chocolate at the end of it. Oh my God. I know when I love it in step two, where it talks about some of us have done things, I mean, when I was a kid, if there was nothing else to eat, I would ask to give the neighbor's dog some dog biscuits. And it would be like one for you and one for me. And don't knock it till you've tried it. Milk bone isn't bad. Don't eat the black ones or the green ones. They're nasty. But it's like when there's nothing else, learning how to make things at home with Weber's white bread, you can do a lot with that. Anyway, I mean, I'm laughing about it now. It wasn't funny then. I knew I was fat. I didn't know what to do about it. I just knew I loved candy and things like that, and they made me feel good. And I grew up feeling like a raw nerve ending and being extremely shy, painfully shy. And somewhere, and I don't think my parents sat me down and told me this, but my head makes up stuff and calls it truth. And one of the things it told me was that I'm not lovable when I'm angry. I'm, well, no, I got told that one, but I'm not lovable. There's something wrong with me. And I don't know what to do to change it. And I'm grateful. I'm not grateful to be a compulsive overeater, but I'm grateful to be a compulsive overeater because if that had not happened, I could go my whole life being sad, depressed, crazy, mixed up, and never find people who understood me. That was the one great gift Overeaters Anonymous gave me right off the top.
Julie, it's 5 minutes.
Yes, thanks. You guys shared, and I identified with what you were talking about. And that's why it's like, it's kind of important for me anyway to share just a little bit about how I ate because people, you know, when you're new coming in and you think I'm the only one that does this, and when you hear a whole room full of people doing it, you're like, oh, okay. And that really helps reduce the shame. And I'll just say one good story was that I was trying to hide from my then boyfriend, now husband, that I was off the wagon and I was going to pick him up from work. I'm in a stick shift car. It's pouring rain on the freeway. I'm kind of hydroplaning and I have this last bagel I got to get down before I pick him up. So I'm putting cream cheese on a bagel in a car that's a stick shift while I'm hydroplaning so that I can eat it before I pick him up. And that made perfect sense to me. Okay. So I was willing to endanger you and me for a bagel. Okay. So that's just one of a thousand stories. And I could share things like I remember walking across a parking lot to go into a like a bar discotheque thing and some guy yelling out, hey, you look great if you'd lose 10 pounds. And you know how, what that did for my self-esteem that night. You know, but that's just, you know, I understand the being an object of ridicule. Okay. And the confusion of how come, I mean, I really genuinely asked myself, why can't I stop? Why, when I honestly want to, can't I stop? And the fortunately, our literature, the OA 12 and 12 talks about that, you know, and the big book talks about it, that I have an illness. That was a relief that it wasn't just willpower or there's something wrong. Well, there's something wrong with me, but willpower, you know, that it's threefold illness. And I get those strange mental blank spots where I forget why I wanted to not eat certain things. And that once I start eating certain foods, I can't stop. I literally cannot stop. I don't stop because I'm full. I stop when it's gone. And I eat like a wino drinks. Okay. I don't, you know, I start off with the good stuff and at the end I'm, you know, I'm eating whatever, you know. So I got into OA and after, you know, I had a rocky road. I came in here, I got real thin, but I didn't really work the steps. And so I got real fat real fast. I gained 100 pounds in 3 months. And then for the next 2.5 years, went to meetings and tried to get abstinent again and could not. And then one night at an AA meeting of all things, someone said something to me about being kind to myself, which had never occurred to me in my whole life. And so I gave it one more try, you know. And it was not like tiptoeing through the tulips. It was a real hard, if you've ever been in the ocean where there's a riptide, if you've ever been trying to cross a mountain river when it's a real strong current, that's what it's like trying to not eat. It's like that. And it was real hard for a while. But, you know, I have not done this thing, you know, gracefully, perfectly, graciously. I've done it kicking, screaming, cussing, but I've done it. And I did what my sponsor told me to do because I wanted what she had. And so I worked the steps with her. I went to meetings. I said yes when someone asked me to sponsor them. I did service, and those are the things I do today. I still do that stuff, okay? Work the steps, have a sponsor, go to meetings regularly. You know, I go to literature studies so I can say, yes, I read the literature, you know, because on my, you know, certain times there's things I want to read besides the big book, okay? But I love reading the big book because it tells me the truth. OA literature tells me the truth, which is I have an illness, it's fatal, it can be arrested, and I need to do these certain things in order for that to happen. Now, does that mean I'm doing the heavy lifting on my recovery? Absolutely not. That's a higher power's job. If I could stay stopped without a higher power, I would have done a long time ago. But I absolutely cannot. And I'm really grateful that this program is only for 24 hours, okay? And because there's been some nights I've gone to sleep, and don't let this worry you, but there have been times when I just thought, I'm going to go to bed, and if I don't wake up tomorrow, thank God I won't have to do this anymore. But
5 minutes.
Thank you. I continue to wake up so far, and I realize when I stop a minute and when I reflect at all how lucky I am, how blessed I am, how grateful I am to have this program and this way of life and you people who understand. I remember my whole life hiding who I was and what I did. And today I don't have to hide. And today it can be a source of merriment between us rather than tears. Okay. I mean, as in, okay, there are people who think cookies go stale. Like, who cares? I don't even understand why that's an issue, but they'll throw them away, which I'm really grateful I wasn't, you know, in the company thereof, because then I think you're horrible and dangerous and I'm getting away from you. I just don't understand that kind of thinking, but I understand my kind of thinking. I understand your kind of thinking, you know? So I'm grateful for that. And what I'm struggling with today is, and struggling means I haven't fully accepted it yet, is that thanks to this program, see, I thought I'd be dead at 35 or in a mental institution at 50. I'm closing in on 68. And so far, neither of those things has happened because of the 12 steps and a higher power in this program, which means I'm getting old. And I have to tell you that it is sucky. Okay. I mean, my body is doing all kinds of things I did not give it permission to do. And, you know, and I'm not even talking about the cosmetic stuff, like, you know, that I've got a chicken neck and all that crap. I'm talking about my eyes are going bad. I mean, just, you know, my bones are getting brittle, you know, all that crap. And I'm just grateful that I'm in a program where I can take care of myself today, like an antique car, go in for regular maintenance, hope for the best. With my brain, it's melting like jello in the sun, but oh well, you know, it's like just for today. I was reading in our literature about perseverance, and that's one thing that's worked for me, is just to persevere. I know it feels bad today, but I'm going to go to bed and maybe tomorrow I'll feel a little better, and I often do, you know. And to keep up with my phone calls, I need to do that regularly, especially when my butt's on fire. I need to make phone calls to people because I regularly come up against something that I'm either afraid or I just need to know I'm not alone while I'm in it, okay? And that's what I'm grateful to the program for. It's given me sponsors and people I can call and talk to who understand and who won't judge. Well, you can judge all you want, just don't tell me about it. But and most of all is the gift of laughter, is when I can laugh at myself, which I always took myself so serious. I always took everything serious. My God, all the time. And that's kind of been lifted a little bit. You know, that's kind of been lifted a little bit. I just love that. I think that is one of the best gifts there is the fact that we can laugh about stuff that I used to cry about alone, you know, and I don't feel that way anymore. And I don't feel, I just feel like there's hope, even when, you know, my eyesight's going and all that other crap. I still have hope and I still have a good life. And I'm grateful it's only one day at a time. And over time, I'm just coming more and more to some acceptance, and also to realize that this isn't a dress rehearsal. So enjoy it now, you know, whatever's going on, forcing my attitude to be one of gratitude is one of the best healing things I know to do, that and talk to another compulsive overeater and pray and meditate. Meditation for me is extremely helpful. And like I say, realizing that it's just for this next 24 hours and that's all I got to do. And because of all that, I weigh about 100, I'm 5'2 now. I used to be 5'3. And I missed that inch. And I weigh about 115 pounds, which is what the doctor wants me to weigh. Okay. So that's, you know, and so I'm maintaining about an 80-pound weight loss now for 38 years. And that's a big, fat, hairy deal. Thank you. I heard that. So I'll just say I'm really grateful to be here, and I'm really grateful you're all here. And thank you so much for having me.